This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm not going to worry about doing an introduction. I don't want to waste the time with that. But I just think you should know that you are no longer the CEO of Eating Blueberries, because I once had a blueberry smoothie. So yes. I don't, you know, when you make a smoothie, you can put a whole bunch of shit in there and then mix it up. And so I made a blueberry smoothie one time. And then
by the looks of you, you put a ton of protein in there.
Yeah. Well, yes, protein and blueberries. And that was it.
Yes.
And then I drank it and then proceeded to literally shit blueberries out of my ass for the next hour because it was way too much blueberries.
Yes.
So we can insert blueberry
you are,
of Gary man. Eating clip
I
here.
It. I eat blueberries like it's my job. You missed the first 30 I ate. Look at this. Look at this. There used to be blueberries here. Like it's my job.
How do you eat so fast? That's one thing I've noticed. You just like devour food when you're eating.
Because I'm trying to accomplish shit out here. People use fucking lunch and dinner as an excuse not to do. I'm on to you, fuckfaces.
But yeah, so that was interesting. So I don't want to have this be like an interview style. Okay. I don't like the question answer.
Okay.
Just have a conversation, talk about
a lot of
different things. One thing I do want to know is which charities you are donating to for V Friends, because I know you're part of Pencils of Promise and Charity Water. Are there
both,
any others?
Both are there. Another one is the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Because my brother AJ has Crohn's. Mm. And the other two I'm putting the final touches on. One is being donated to a charity that supports black and underserved artists in the NFT space. Mm. And one is a environmental carbon offset. But I'm still kind of like just putting, we'll be announcing that very shortly, but that is the five.
Very cool. Yeah. Okay. I like how you did the five.
Yes, there.
Yeah,
exactly
favorite
right.
number.
That is the number.
Awesome. Why Pencils of Promise, Charity Water? I obviously your brother AJ for the Crohn's and Colitis. So why the other two?
I feel are just like topical, top of the moment things that I'm passionate about in the NFT space. Obviously, as we go to proof of stake and all the work and all this, all of the blockchains I think are being incredibly fast and thoughtful of offsetting the electric output and the carbon footprints. So I'm pretty proud of the space in general, in a space that I'm a little bit undereducated on. And so I wanted to use that. I think, I am the byproduct of being a minority. I'm in America because I was Jewish in the Soviet Union. That's how I got out. And so for me, I've always had, heart and given support to, groups of people, whether it's the indigenous people in Australia, I've done some stuff. Like I've always just attached to that. And so I think there's a real opportunity for underserved groups of people to succeed in the NFT land, given the decentralization. I think it's a platform that can eliminate a lot of the red tape and infrastructure that has historically made it more difficult. Mm. My mom couldn't go to college in Russia because she was Jewish. And so like I'm affected by knowing that like systems sometimes are challenging. I also on the flip side am very empathetic to like not allowing humans to fall into excuses, because then you're just finished. Once you decide it's over, it's over.
Right.
And so you're always trying to find your balance in those kind of things. And so to me, and just like so much incredible art coming from different genders, races, backgrounds. So I'm excited about that. Crohn's obviously hits triple home. My brother has it. My AJ left VaynerMedia because of Crohn's. Mm. So, I'm very affected by that disease, and so many humans are always going to scratch their itch on the thing that takes their parents' lives or brings adversity to the ones they love. And then Pencils of Promise and Charity Water are actually very interesting. They're a combination of two things. One, the founder, and two, the hypothesis. So this is a fun one. Pencils of Promise builds schools. Mm. And I have a lot of friends, acquaintances, they're like, wait a minute, Mr. Fuck College, the fuck? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I believe in education more than anything on earth. I don't believe in the way that it's sold in America in 2022. I believe that I do education for a living, truly. I don't think there would be Gary Vee if I didn't care about education. I just wouldn't put all the time and effort into putting out the content. Yeah. Of course it brings awareness to me that I can do business with. I get that. But I was doing business before there was Gary Vee, very successfully. I think the teaching mechanism is actually like changing people's ideas or saying one sentence that helps somebody is intoxicating. Do you understand what it feels like to be a human being and get DMs and emails all day saying, you said this in this podcast and my life is better now? What? Like, you can't replicate that high. There's no money, there's no award, there's no blue check mark, there's no successful NFT project that can even, and I know somebody on the other side's like, yeah, but it's just fucking true. Like, it feels crazy to be a benefit to another human being. That's education. I put out a piece of content the other day about Senora Kennedy, my Spanish teacher, who was the one teacher.
I love that.
Yeah, it was the one teacher that saw it. And like, it meant a lot for me. Like, even though I was insular and my mom gave it to me, it was nice to get it from one more source, yeah. Right? I try to do that to my people. I try to do that to anybody I come across. I try to do it for the masses. That person that builds you up instead of tears you down is the person.
Yeah.
And so Pencils of Promise, in America, because it was a world power, you could win without having school.
Mm-hmm.
It's called entrepreneurship. I did. In Guatemala, in Laos, in difficult. Ghana, very difficult. School has been the proven differentiator. The kids that got out or made an impact within almost consistently had school as their beacon. So I'm incredibly proud to have built so many schools in those three places when I know, and I've visited Ghana, and you're looking at a school you built, and then you ask the very basic question, you're like, so what was happening before? And they're like, oh, one of the elders in town would gather the kids under that tree and read to them.
Wow.
So to me, entrepreneurship was the fuel that changed my life. In a lot of parts of the world, it is school education. And then Adam Braun was an incredibly compelling, vibrant, young, alpha fucking winner who I was like, oh, I'm gonna give him my money and he's gonna do it. Because, you know, at that point in my life, when I first started donating to Pencil Promise, like, those were big checks for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so, you know, there's a lot of nonprofits that burn their cash out of ideology and bullshit. And that takes me to Scott Harrison. Charity Water is one of the most impactful nonprofits in the history of time.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get emotional if you're listening right now about like a kid that doesn't have education. What about the kid that doesn't have clean water?
It's such a basic thing that so many of us just take for granted.
850, like, 700, yes, 750, 850, I gotta remember the numbers, million people don't have access to clean water. Like, so when we build a well in mainly Africa, that town, the woman, normally the woman, almost always the woman, now no longer has to walk 6 miles with a jug on her head to get some clean water and walk it back. Instead, it's right there. And so Scott's ambition is so large. Scott not only got me to be very aggressive with my well membership, but he changed my giving. So he said to me 10 years ago, whatever it is now, Gary, you're gonna be successful. I've got a sense of you, you're a good guy. And you're gonna be one of those 70, 80 year old dudes and you're gonna write some big ass fucking checks. Why not just start giving it away now?
Hmm.
He goes, you'll enjoy it more.
What did that feel like when you said that?
It was a big moment for me because there's been, you know, outside of my mother and outside of a couple of things that happened in my youth, there's been very few times in my life I get to be the person that says one sentence and change someone's life. So to be on the receiving end of it, it's incredibly humbling. I love being a student and staying curious. I have so many convictions and have a lot of wisdom and like have lived a lot of life for a young man. So it's fun when I come across someone who can change my perception, especially for the good.
Yeah.
You know, so many people in my life that I get to meet genuinely are trying to change my perception for the bad. And this is a very interesting insight.
Hmm.
They don't even realize it. They're just trying to do something selfish for themselves, which would require me doing something selfish for myself. And so they're actually trying to sell me on something that is less noble than what I'm up to. This was a time where somebody came and sold me on something more noble.
Mm.
and practical. Because a lot of people come to me on some noble shit that's like delusional and a little bit like, yeah, it's just like, it's actually selfish to them.
I'm sure you get a bunch of those. Can you give an example of, you don't have to mention names or anything, yeah, of when somebody was trying to change your perception?
It usually looks something like this. Hey, Gary, you should get behind this cause, but to do that, you have to support my business, which is the train tracks that this cause writes on. And it becomes like a bad version of nonprofit. Mm. Pencils of Promise and Charity Water give all of the money they raise to the thing.
Yeah.
And then they do a separate thing to pay for their executives. I don't know if this is true with the Red Cross, but like these big charities, I haven't done homework in a while because I kind of did this homework 10 years ago, and it's really inappropriate for me to even say the Red Cross, but I think I remember that was the one. A lot of these things that you donate on that are big, you don't realize that only 12 cents on a dollar, 60 cents on a dollar, 72 cents a dollar go to the thing, and a lot of it's to pad the salaries of the executives, many of which are below average, and it kind of gets into like government efficient stuff. And I want to be clear here. Anybody who works in a nonprofit is a remarkable person, but I've looked under the hood. Sometimes the executive or the number seven is getting paid $400,000 a year, and you're like,
It's kind of like greenwashing for like environmental initiatives.
That's right.
Like
by the way, something that I had to get educated on last 5 years. For everybody who's listening, like greenwashing is the idea of like oil companies marketing in a way that kind of makes you like look the other way, or like kind of make it like, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay. So, you know, Look, I think it's incredibly dangerous for the world to go into virtue signaling the way it is. Like the hypocrisy of every human that tries to take down somebody else, because every one of them is
doing- Work on yourself first.
And it's not even work on yourself, but yes, it's, okay, so you're gonna yell at your best friend over dinner or make a TikTok making fun of them because they support something that is using sweatshops in here, but you're doing this. Like somebody said something, somebody was mad at me for selling books for NFTs. They're like, that's bad for the environment. I'm like, you know that minting one NFT does more, they're like a big NFT collect, like more than like all my books that I printed. You know, like we need to be careful with hypocrisy. You have people that are shaming people, meanwhile they're wearing Gucci belts and
fast,
you know,
fashion is,
and fast fashion, yeah, is destroyed, like, right? It's, and so horrible. Look, I'm, you know it seems just how quickly you mentioned fast fashion and greenwashing that you're a little bit more educated than I am. I'm starting my journey on trying to be as thoughtful as I can about everything. Mm-hmm. And environmental issues obviously are in there. However, the world will break if it goes into red and blue.
Yes, 100%.
The only answer is purple.
Yep.
There's different shades of purple. Even in my social media over the last 3 months, I've been using a purple heart instead of my default red heart or green heart for the Jets. And it's because I know that my next mission, you know, I've kind of gone through this 5-year journey. Jeremy, you've been watching my stuff for a long time. A lot of you listening right now have, where I really have consciously extracted out of myself 5 years ago, like, wait a minute, I need to talk about the EQ stuff. And obviously that culminated with 12 and a half. And I think today I'm known a lot for like, look, I want to be an assassin. Like I want to remind everybody who's listening, when it comes to business, I will slice your throat nicely. And yes. What do I mean by that? I mean that like, I want to be kind and respectful and nice and empathetic, but I still want to win. Like, it's kind of like sports. Like, these guys beat the fuck out of each other. But then when the game's over, they're hugging, shaking trading hands, jerseys. And, you know, now that I'm in the business, they're also doing things like, hey, what's going on with your nonprofit golf event? Like, you see these big fucking monsters, that, right? They're like, you have no idea what they're actually talking about. Of course, they may make a joke or talk about college because they went to college together. But they're doing a lot more like, how's Karen? Hey, saw your dad passed. I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, want to make a donation to the nonprofit I saw you just started? They're like a lot more than people think. That's kind of how I am with business. Everybody who owns an agency, I want to destroy you. Comma, not really.
Yeah.
I just want to win, but I know you'll still get your money. I definitely want you to be healthy, and I really care about your family, and I would never want to be so dominant that you're actually out of business. Like,
because,
you know,
it's just a game for you.
Because there's no reason to not understand that the world is and. It doesn't have to be red or blue. It is red and blue, thus it's purple. And this is very big for me. And so I think I've done a good job. I'm content with the culmination.
I know you've done a great job of this.
Thank you, because I see 25-year-old winning alpha men and women who 20 years ago were like, I'm gonna, and now are saying things like empathy. Like, you didn't hear these words.
Me.
Well, please tell.
Let's have a conversation. That was me.
Please.
I was always the guy who said that he cared about other people, which I always did, but it was always from a point of, okay, how can I benefit from this?
Right.
And now after diving deeper into your content, it's like, I don't give a shit.
You don't have to compromise.
Shit.
You don't have to compromise.
Yeah,
you
I can just give. Like, I don't care if I get anything back.
You became non-manipulating, strategic, and transactional.
Yes.
And you became, in the macro, this is me. You became knowing, wait a minute, all those things I was trying to make happen with that kind of behavior will actually happen if I let go and just lean into my talents and kindness.
No expectations.
Correct.
Give
Zero.
Without the intent to receive.
When, you know, and I've said this a lot in the last year or two, this whole people walk all over me. Gary, you talk about kindness, they walk all over you. I'm telling you, every person that gets walked all over for their kindness in business are one of two things. One, they were trying to manipulate a situation, the other person sensed it,
yeah,
and they didn't deliver on the thing they were trying to trick them into. Two, the person is so highly insecure that the only way they think somebody will interact with them is if they let the person walk over them, and that's their means. So you are either manipulative or highly insecure. That is a separation from the fact that kindness is still the right option. Try to deploy self-awareness, look yourself in the mirror and start working on either one of those things. And I use you know, it's funny, you know, manipulation is an aggressive word. And I think being transactional and strategic isn't actually fully like hardcore manipulation, but I have so much passion for people to lean into what we're talking about right now, mm-hmm, that I want to make it as scary as like the nice person like us, that's like 16-year-old us, if they hear this, I'm like, damn, I don't want to be a manipulator. If that's enough to scare them straight to like be like give without expectation, I'm willing to use that word,
yeah,
to create the framework to people to lean in, because as you've probably sensed, when would you say you went through that kind of like, wait a minute, and like, and when did you think you leaned into changing the behavior?
It's been a few years.
And do you feel a tremendous difference?
Well, it really started happening within the past year, and even more so within the past 6 months after my breakup with my now ex-girlfriend, which really kind of shifted some things. And yes, you're absolutely, you nailed it. It's like an immediate switch. Like now it's just, I just feel so much gratitude.
Lighter.
Yesterday, I put on my Instagram story, I had back-to-back-to-back coaching calls with my clients. And in the middle of the second coaching call, this thought was just implanted into my head. I actually have it written down. Where is it? Right here. I have the coolest fucking job. That came to me because I can travel wherever I want, work remotely, and my job is to help people improve their lives. And just the immense sense of gratitude that I got from that was just amazing.
And I think the thing that's really powerful, like I think back to the content I put into the world. Obviously, I took a different approach of like coaching, right? People go literal. I went kind of macro. I'm just gonna do it. It is what it is. Out, free, and about, never one-on-one, all at scale. What is really cool that I'm sure how old are you?
26.
Right. What I'm sure you're probably even sensing, even in this 6 months, and I've definitely sensed from call it 34 to 46, is, oh shit, I'm gonna get better. And thus the people on the receiving end of my thoughts are gonna get better.
That's my favorite part of doing what I do, is because, well, as a high performance coach, I'm constantly improving myself, like all the time. And then by doing that, I improve my clients. But the coolest thing about that is that a lot of times my clients are getting better, and then their family and friends see that, and then they get on it too. Like I had a client who started going for a morning walk every morning and then coming back and making healthy breakfast. And then his mom saw that and she started going on the walks with him, coming back and making healthy breakfast. And she lost like 7 pounds in a month.
It's huge.
It's like, that is why I do what I do. And you mentioned earlier
I'm sorry to interrupt. It becomes a game of positivity scales positivity and negativity scales negativity.
Yes.
Which is why I believe in leadership so much.
That's like, one of my brand's core values, leadership.
You know, I think at the end of the day, I think people are very confused about leadership. Leadership is about creating—
not dictatorship.
Correct. And I think leadership is about creating an atmosphere, because a true leader scales what she or he can do. If you can only impact so much when you're touching everything, it's when you actually create a framework of conversation, adjectives. You know, for example, one of the things that I wish I could be the president of the United States.
I wish that too.
Now, I wasn't born in this country and I can't have that, and I get that.
Oh, is that a rule?
Yeah, that's the rule. Otherwise, I'd be, trust me, my political career would be in full swing. I'd be the mayor of New York right now if I was born here. Starting my strategy on my way up. I think about it a lot, and I've been thinking about it recently, and I'm like, what would I do? And I think one of the things that I'm most passionate about, back to red and blue, go to purple, people should have difference of opinions. It's absolutely cool. That's how we make it awesome. What we have completely lost is civility. We are in a place that I can't believe. Like,
nobody wants to listen.
But listen, you know what? That's atrocious. And I'm like, okay. I'm talking about how we talk to each other.
Dehumanizing.
I cannot believe that we are fully in our society at the politician level in high school. Full pledged. The way politicians talk to each other and talk to human beings that they interact on TV or social media has now reached the behavior that is worse than the way I watched the worst kids in my high school treat the nerds in my high school or the most easy to pick up. Today, in 2022, politicians talk to human beings, each other, and random people who disagree with them on social media worse than the worst guys in my high school in 1993, which was a far less politically correct world than it is today, treated people that they decided to pick on. That fucking sucks.
Clip it.
Clip it is right. And that is why I get in, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about me because I'm so out and about. The way I interact with people who think I'm a piece of shit, who think I suck, who think I'm overrated, is the singular thing I'm most proud of. It's not show. It's not kill. People are like, Gary Vee, killing them with kindness. I'm not killing them with kindness. I am having a civil conversation with a human being who I know doesn't have all the context on me, mm-hmm. who I have compassion for is clearly not in a greatest place right now. If you are taking time to tear down another human being, you're in a place of angst. Yes. Whether you are going to be on the right side of history and you're trying to tear down somebody bad, or whether you're on the wrong side of history and you read one headline, or the person's communication style triggers you a little bit because they're poking at something that bothers you, or who the hell knows. But you're not in the best place right this second. You're triggered. You're in a place where you're not happy enough to get it out in negative form, in an anonymous way a lot of times. Yeah. My reaction to that is compassion. I'm not killing them with kindness. I'm being civil with compassion.
Because they have to be going through something.
Correct. I am civiling with compassion. I'm not killing with kindness. I am civiling.
Make it a verb.
I'm civiling. And I think we have none of that. Somebody says something that is even, I watch this shit 24/7. Somebody says something to somebody that is constructive criticism, not even rude. Hater, troll, delete. You are so thin skinned. Your skin is so thin, I see your fucking bones. The fuck are you guys doing? We're seeing people civil, slight criticism. Actually, it has gotten so soft. I see people who ask a follow-up question with a little teeth to it. Not even criticism. Follow-up question with a little bit of teeth on it. Blocked, troll, hater. I will never call anybody a troll or hater. Ever in my life. I don't think it. I don't believe it. I might have thrown around as slang and thing. I might use it as a context point if I'm trying to make a video. Mm-hmm. But for me, in my brain, in my heart, in my soul, when I look at somebody, I'm deploying civil compassion. Mm-hmm. And I think people are deploying all sorts of things, and we have completely lost civility. And if I ran all K through 12 schools right now as an extracurricular, I would be pounding civil. I think we are in a really weird spot. People think it's appropriate to tell people that fuck you. Like, we have completely, look, I'm anti-establishment. Mm-hmm. I like fighting systems, but the lack of class, I mean, I don't understand.
Do you have any say for like Pencils of Promise, like the type of curriculum that goes into that?
At this point, to be transparent, there's been a lot of transition on leadership at Pencils of Promise since Adam stepped down and went to board. And so, and we have really good local curriculum, you know, and so the answer is, I could get much louder as a voice on the board towards it. I would tell you that I feel undereducated and prepared to speak to what is foundationally needed in Guatemala, Laos, and Ghana.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm having a pretty Western world.
That's a good point.
America. I'm having a very contextual rant right now.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how nobody has figured out the following greatest secret of life, which is bringing hate to a hate party will never be a successful outcome.
Sounds like a shitty party.
And so people responding, like, I get putting baby in the corner. My father is a man who's only known how to confront confrontation with more confrontation. So I understand it. I'm close to it. I see it. I watch it. It is the worst formula.
Are you familiar with the phrase, good times create weak men, weak men create hard times create strong men, and strong men create good times?
I've never heard that, but I consume that in 400th of a second. What you're talking about is why every prosperous empire in human history has collapsed.
Yes. So,
of course you're going to complain about your Wi-Fi not working on a plane and actually be mad about it because you live in America in 2020, which is a global empire that's so rich that you can complain about stuff like that. You know, like the Roman Empire.
Perspective.
Like Europe. Like, America has such a huge advantage. You just have to look at Europe. Like, Europe was us. Like it was right there. It's right there. Like, anything you like or dislike or love or hate or absurdly adore or are concerned about, so much of Europe has gone through this.
Yeah.
America's got its own flavor and its own context and is much more insular than Europe. Europe has so many different cultures. America is really a truly blue and red infrastructure. It really is. America's at its best when it gets into purple. Unfortunately, America goes purple usually when we fight somebody on the outside.
Yeah.
Since we haven't had a war.
Yeah.
To really rally against, you know, this is why one of the things I think a lot about is how China and Russia, as quote unquote enemies for America, are playing out this time versus the Cold War versus World War II. Again, my report card somewhere here. What's really funny is how much my career is predicated in my report card. Atrocious student, just history.
Yeah, history.
And I use history so much. I'm using it now. Look, all this stuff on my shelf, all really modern pop culture history that I'm using to build V-Friends, right? I'm a true historian of it. But yeah, it's, you know, I love that statement because I believe in it. And it is what makes it anxiety riddled for me that we need to, this is why I've really upped the Gary Venus over the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I'm like, we're gonna need to like look at like the, and fuck me, I'm just a pimple in the ass. We need 900. 1,500, 17,000 me's, people that truly have good intent, but are practical, not fucking bullshit ideology, at scale, building real tribes, because you can't look to politicians. You just can't.
I'm working on it.
Good for you. And it's a really sad state of affairs. It's really unfortunate. And it's because politicians have allowed themselves to go to high school. We don't have the Bob Doles anymore, who was a Republican and believed in conservative values, but could have a cordial conversation in 1987 with the other, with a Ted Kennedy and fucking work together like fucking human beings and compromise and fucking not, like, what the fuck are we doing? You fucking children.
There
is not a child on earth. There's not a high school on earth that is in a worse state of affairs of how they treat each other than our political infrastructure right now. Agreed. The fuck?
Agreed. 100%.
And what's it, and you know what the problem about that is? Then that bleeds into the home.
Yeah.
You have, what are these?
It's.
And by the way, so there's no confusion, red and blue at scale. I know fucking 1,000 people on both sides of this thing who do not know how to talk like a human being anymore. Who are canceling their friends. I'm watching my friends who had 42-year relationships break up their friendship.
That's so sad.
It's
families.
It's because we are in a place right now where the atmosphere has created that. And so for me, I'm trying to create the reverse atmosphere. Like, to me, all I spend my time on is good behavior based on my subjective point of view, which I feel decent about, you know, and I think for everybody who's watching, and let me actually point this very directly to my community, because I live in the V Friends Discord all the time. And I can tell you right now, some of my biggest fans holding 7 tokens are incredibly not civil when somebody comes in and tries to bring negativity. There is no compassion. It's fuck you, troll, get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm not looking to be put on a pedestal. I'm not perfect. Somebody comes in and asks a question, they need to be treated with a civil answer. Like, I'm doing it. Who the fuck are you? I know you're a part of this community, but like, if I'm in there treating someone who's dissenting voice with, you know, respect, who are you to fucking be, like, we've got to learn this.
They
got to
read 12 and a half. Yeah.
I find it very ironic that many of my biggest fans do not live their lives anywhere close to what I'm saying.
How do you suggest we start to take accountability? Like, if somebody has been struggling to hold themselves accountable for these things and they're always blaming and projecting onto other people, what would your recommendation be?
I did an interview this morning and I said that if people actually knew that accountability was one of the most remarkable drugs to happiness, everybody would lean into it. So my answer to your question is very simple. I don't know how to say this enough, but I'll say it again. If you are able to eliminate the fear of other people's opinions, you will be in a better position to be accountable, because when you admit you were wrong or that you were the problem, this boogie monster of everybody laughing at you or judging you or firing you or whatever goes away. And you can start leaning to accountability, which then takes you out of fear. Because when you are not accountable, you are hiding something. When you're hiding something, you're always scared. When you are hiding something, you are always scared. When you're scared, that's heavy. It's anxious. You know? And so the reason I reference the last scene of 8 Mile all the time is because it's one of the most significant popular culture moments, where Eminem as a global superstar and 8 Mile as a highly consumed movie showed you the secret. He wins the battle because he exposes all of his perceived shortcomings, thus rendering Papa Doc, AKA the world, nothing to say.
Yep.
And so if you're accountable and say, I fucked this up, I leaked this information, I stole this money, I cheated on this exam, I pressed the button. You're not scared anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a real big one. For example, not to pry too much, mm-hmm. you mentioned you got out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. So many people that get out of relationships are incredibly good at telling you what the other person did wrong. They're remarkable at pointing fingers. This society has become world class at pointing fingers and telling everybody what they're bad at.
Yep.
We are not interested in thumbs. We don't like thumbs. And I got to tell you, living through it in my entire life, and all of us and most people that are listening to this have gone through a breakup. There are plenty of thumbs in a breakup, even if you can't see it.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, that, you know, actually my professional career, this book 12 and a half was big for me, you know, because I talk pretty much about optimism and positivity. And I tend not to go vulnerable. I keep my private life private, so that's a whole to do. And then professionally, I'm a fucking Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be a lot of success, right? So I'm really proud of myself. And I don't say that often for everybody who's like a savant of my content. I don't use that line. I'm proud of myself that I've gotten to the point where I was able to articulate publicly in book form and heavily through the content that associates with it and doing it in the meta right now, that I was able to say, hey, there are people that have worked for me over the last 25 years who don't like me, and it is only one thing, only one. It was my inability to be candorous with them when I thought they were not good at what they did, thus over time rendering resentment on my end for them not seeing that they suck and quitting, and entitlement creation on them, because if I'm telling them they're great, well then I'm fucking positioning them to believe they're great. I, yeah. The hater of eighth place trophies was actually deploying eighth place trophies mm-hmm. by not saying anything and just being nice. Dustin, you look great today. You know, Seth, actually I say it all the time, Seth, you're fucking muscle, you're amazing. You know, like, or like you did, or you know, I've gotten to a place where I can tell Dustin now if I don't like something, but like my natural state is what I did with Dustin an hour ago. Hey, I'm really proud of you. I think you're really like I'm so much more comfortable giving compliments than giving critical feedback. When I tricked myself, and I like using that word, but it's a bad word. When I repositioned candor to kind candor,
yep.
I did to myself what I do for all of you. I repackaged it, created kind candor, and started because what I was doing before, and you guys know this, Seth, you probably know this even better than Dustin. What was happening with me before is I would like razz in a silly way to try to tell you like you're fucking up. Which actually like really wouldn't land, right? Like it made me feel a little bit better, but it probably, you know, and I would do it sometimes publicly. I'm like, and I always give it, you know, I'd always deliver that medicine with sugar. So it would make it somewhat, I would never scold. But like for a lot of people, they didn't know what to do with that. They're like, all right, Gary's not happy. But it was like, you know, and like we just wouldn't. And so, you know, I have empathy for people that are not accountable. Accountability comes natural to me. I'm a leader. Mm-hmm. Candor didn't. And fucking candor matters. Like I hate how little I care about the money, how much I care about the game, how naturally sweet of a human being I am. I despise the fact that I know there's people that don't have the best taste in their mouth because of my lack of candor. And I want to fix all those relationships. And what feels great is I'm not letting it happen anymore. And it's fucking no different than what back to your whole thing of like, feel, like you don't know what I feel like. I'm a totally different man. Gary Vee was dominating 6 years ago. You know why? You know why you all? Because I'm candorous with y'all. I've got kind candor with y'all. The content is kind candor. It's dominating. So I am liked. Here, it was, I'm fucking the favorite person of 80% of here, my company, 1,500 people. Because mm-hmm. they're rocking and there's nothing to candor about. It's the 20% that I needed to be. And now that I've deployed it, my company's exploded because of it. My retention is even higher. I already had great retention. Seth just mentioned before. He's like, that's why people stay here about something else. So my retention's even higher because now the person that was destined to not like it here and I would fire and they'd be like, fuck you, or they would quit, now is salvageable because you have a kind candor combo and it, you right?
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
So besides the kind candor thing, what has been something that you've been wrong about or changed your mind about recently?
That's a great question. Candor's the biggest one. It's just so over. With me, why 12 and a half work for me? I'm so macro. In the micro, everything. I mean, my team would tell you I change my mind on my content strategy every week, right? TikTok, Instagram, volume. This week, team, I want to do less. I'm Mr. Volume. team, I want to do less content right now because I'm so busy, but I want it to be higher impact. So we don't need to post 4 times a day on Instagram. I'm fine with 1, but I want a fucking assassin clip. Why? Because I'm adjusting to the reality that I can't give the Gary V brand the energy that I could for the last 8 years because V Friends is my newest and most important child.
Yeah.
So that's me adjusting, right? So it doesn't mean that I was wrong about it. The only thing I was wrong about that is glaring as fuck recently was believing that, not being candorous, that I would be able to figure it out. I'm not gonna hurt their feelings. I viewed candor as a mechanism to fear. You come in, you work for me for 9 months, we sit down, I go, brother, you're really bad at detail. You made a lot of mistakes. Like, we need to really train you up for details because you sent that email, it really hurt us. Like, we're gonna really need to figure this out. You have any thoughts on this, doesn't it? No matter how well that, and look how nice I did that. Like, that's how I would do it. Mm-hmm. I always believed, I still believe, by the way, that you walk out and go to LinkedIn and go, I'm not gonna be working here. Because I know the world is so fear-based, I leaned too heavily on that.
But that's more, so you can do everything that you can for that, but really I believe that's on the other person.
It is, it is.
Their perception.
This goes back to the fascinating thing that I had to go through 5 years ago. This started 5.5 years ago, 7. I don't even remember now, I have to remember. I grew this company from 14 people to 400 people in 36 months. We're fucking cruising. Mm-hmm. I have a meeting and I'm like, I don't like something. Like, you know, my spidey senses.
Yeah.
So, 'cause I'm a macro CEO. So I get really into the finances. I get under the hood and I'm like, uh-oh. Like, we're in a little bit of trouble here. Like, and it wasn't like we're gonna go out of business or we can't make payroll. It's, we're paying people to do the same shit. Like, this is just like not a well-run company. Like, we have 2 levels here that do the same exact thing on 2 divisions. And not only is that bad for more profit because you don't need that person, it's actually causing friction because those 2 people are bumping heads because they're doing the same shit. So we let go of 34 people. This company revolted against me. You fucking, like, company-wide meeting where I was like, hey, let me tell you why we're letting go of these 34 people. Because we were so family, people lost their, right?
Yeah.
Fuck you, this and that. And I like, you know, like.
Actual fuck yous?
2 or 3 people that came, not, okay. No. It wasn't like, yeah, out of a movie, but like in question form, there was actual like, yo, what the fuck? Which was like, you know, like, cause I make it so safe. They felt like they could. Seth, I don't know if you were here for that. It was right before you came, right? Nonetheless, I go back to my office. I sit down by myself for 5 minutes to, you know, I'm very good at that. I'm the best at this.
Yeah.
Like, take it and then move forward. I'm like, what makes me a fucking G entrepreneur is what I just did physically to myself. Mm-hmm. I can take a punch.
And you don't react to it, you respond. So you, like, you take that time to think about it.
I take the punch and I know what to do to survive the round.
Yeah.
Got it? True boxing or MMA. Mm-hmm. I can take a punch. Most entrepreneurs, and definitely this generation of like, I want to be an entrepreneur because it's cool.
For the Instagram.
Can't take title. The punch.
Yeah.
So this was a great moment of a punch, a big one. I would even call this one because I was really upset. I might have gotten knocked down, but I got back up, didn't get counted out. And now I got to gather my thoughts. What I did for the next 3 years was fucking monumental. I systematically, but it wasn't until the last couple of years where I added the final piece of kind candor. It was a version of it. It was a company version, but I still wasn't doing it. I got the company to create a lot more candor in HR, in pet, in heart, in like I did a ton of smart shit that started to assist. Cause I sat, I'm jumping around here. I went back to my office and I said, oh my God, Mr. fucking Gary Vee, who talks all this shit, has created a company of entitled rich kids. Because I'm taking on all the pressure, cause I'm selling everything. Like that was giving your 13-year-old $1,000 a week allowance and then at 15 being like, and pulling it back and the 15-year-old saying, you're a piece of shit. And that really struck me. Took the punch, created systems, got it way better, right? Took it from red to yellow. Last 24 months, this company's become green because the final piece was me acting fully candorous.
That's that accountability.
Because what was happening was I was really fucking it up red because I was getting too involved. I was doing HR for everybody. Mm. I took myself kind of a lot more out of it and let HR, not bad corporate HR, still with Chief Heart Officer Claude, still with my style, but there was at least more real combos because everybody that came to see me, it was like sunshine and rainbows. Here's more fucking candy for you. You're the best. See ya. Have a good day. And like, it became delusion.
Yeah.
Right. And said, you actually, what am I talking about? Like your significant other worked here. Like, you know, this stuff, like this was real. And this final piece, it's been huge. So to answer your question, very long-winded, I changed my mind and I'm wrong about a lot of micro things and I changed them day in and day out and don't even think about it. And a lot of people fear that. My dad actually used to get really mad at me. Mad. Dad, we need to buy so much Pinot Noir. We buy Pinot Noir. I sell it because I'm a winner. But the next week I'm like, we gotta go heavy on Sauvignon Blanc. He's like, you said Pinot Noir. I'm like, the market's changed. And he's like, the fuck? Because my dad's very rigid. Like almost to like I'm actually getting worried. Dad, I'm a little worried about you. You're getting now it's like he can only like fly out of the same terminal gate.
I know he parks at the same parking spot at Costco.
Did he say that in some content? Yeah. Like for real though. But I don't think people understand. This is that like, you know, I'm sure there's a condition for this. He's not doing that because he thinks it's funny. He's doing it because he has to.
Yeah.
I am the reverse. I don't want to do anything exactly the same ever at any point ever. I want to change my mind every second of every moment of my life. Except I do not want to waver on my fucking values.
Yeah.
My values are fucking locked.
What are your values?
Kindness. I just believe in it more than I even like I'm right. Like even when I say it, I can feel it.
Feels good.
Merit. This is what was so devastating about, wait a minute, I'm subconsciously fucking up one of my values. I believe in merit, but I'm over taking care of the worst 20% of my company. I'm the reverse of Jack Welch. I'm overcompensating for the bottom 20%, which was what I was talking about. But merit, I'm very scared of eighth place trophies. Mm. We're teaching children that everyone's like Dustin's worked really hard every day on his bike tricks. Let's go this weekend and have the bike off. You haven't done jack shit. You came in eighth, he came in first, but let's all give everybody the same trophy. That's exactly why so many 22-year-olds, because they've been living under this their whole life, in this world, are struggling because they don't understand the world because their parents eliminated the world. Kids don't go outside anymore. Do you understand the kids in the 70s and 80s and 60s went outside? So the streets taught them. So they got a little bit of like their family values, but they also got truth. Like kids used to fight. I got into fights in third. I got into a fight with Oded Weinstock in second, third, and sixth grade. It happened. People fought. People don't like we've eliminated we've put bubble babies. Everyone's a bubble. Everyone's at home, overcoddled, getting $50 to buy their Fortnite skins. Like, what the fuck? Everyone needs to get like the same prize, the same shit. So merit, like winning and losing is real. It's actually awesome. Losing's even better than winning. Stop fucking trying to keep your kids away from losing. Losing is the reason I'm a winner. I lost my whole fucking life. Lost in school. Second grade, I'm dominant. I have straight A's because all the basic stuff I was good at, especially math, like basic math, the third grade, I was dominant. Winning the flash car wars, beat Michael Wong, who was number one in our school. Like I was a beast.
Still remember
Michael Wong. Michael Wong also is the only kid in my school that voted for Walter Mondale in third grade in the 84 election instead of Ronald Reagan. And it's stuck in my head to think about this. That's 19, that is 40 years ago. We did a class vote and Michael Wong voted for Walter Mondale, who famously only won his own state in the 84 election. That's how popular Reagan was. So I was dominant in third grade. I had such good hand-eye coordination and still do, which is why I'm good at racket sports and some of these different things. So I was epic at sports because I could catch everything and I could pitch. So I'm the epic at sports, top, and epic in school. By fifth grade, I'm already too small and everyone's starting to get faster and stronger. And I'm an F student and everything. And so like, I'm just losing. But the one place I was winning is the most merit place of all, business. My lemonade stand was better than yours. My baseball card shop was better than yours. Me at my dad's store was better than him as a kid. So what the fuck? So of course I became intoxicated with business. It was my place of affirmation. But when your place of affirmation is anything, it's also your vulnerability. Luckily for me, I understood that. I knew that I had to be a moral, solid business dude, because if this one place that was my confidence thing got killed by me doing the wrong things, then I would be a broken man. Mm. It's why I actually fear, I mean, you're a really good looking dude. Like, I don't know if you were always like that, but I actually fear kids that are really good at school or really good looking. I'm being serious, because their entire framework from the world is getting affirmation for those two things.
Yep.
So they're very attractive when they start hitting that 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, go into some very dark places. Because if the world has been telling you this is why you're good, you're like, fuck, like, right?
Yeah.
Or school. School's a fake system. That's why so many people struggle. You figured out the fake system, which is the reverse of the life. Yeah. And so now you were told this is what you're good at. And then you come here and you're like, why am I not good? So parents, be careful what you affirm. My, go figure. Here, ready? Here are my two affirmations. The world, not my mom, the world told me I was good at business. And my mom affirmed being nice. My mom would only clap, not when I got grades, because I didn't get them, not when I was nice to other people. So who the fuck did I become? My grandmother affirmed to my dad to not trust anybody. She would clap up when he would be cynical or suspicious. That's right, son, don't let them get you. The fuck do you think my dad becomes? Parents, your greatest responsibility by a country, and by the way, I never tell people how to parent. Leaders, teachers, parents, this is general talk. Mm-hmm. Your number one responsibility, if you care about somebody underneath you, whether that's your child or your student or your teammate or whatever, your number one responsibility is to understand what you're affirming.
Mm. That
is big.
That.
It's big. It's something, and for me, with great, you know, awareness comes great responsibility. As I knew that I was getting really popular and was on my way, me affirming the nice attributes of business is my responsibility. The fact that I went to the Knicks game last night, do you know how many fucking 15-year-old boys ran up to me and took a selfie? And the only thing I'm thinking the whole time is like, this is good. This is good, because I'm gonna fucking trick these fuckers into being good dudes.
Yep.
You know, like that's literally what I'm thinking. I'm gonna trick them. I'm gonna content them. Like I'm gonna show them the way. I'm gonna be successful, because if they see a kind billionaire, well then they're like, well.
That becomes the
cool. Wait a minute. Thing. And by the way, that then you don't have to, I believe this by the way, that there have been unbelievable amounts of women and men who were naturally kind, who were also so ambitious that they trained themselves out of their kindness because they thought that was the only way.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm gonna be able to do is make people feel comfortable leaning into their kindness while they build an empire.
That's what builds the empire, is these relationships so. And being kind.
So that.
Yeah, well, we're running up on time. And I wanted to give you a few things. I know you're always wearing beanies. So I've got one on right now. This is...
Is the one you're wearing or a different one?
Well, yeah, it's this one, but it's gray. And
I like
it's EMF blocking. So, you know, EMF blocking. Wi-Fi, 5G.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. That...
And is it your brand?
No, it's not mine.
Oh, just a company.
I'm affiliated with them. So
you are or you aren't?
I am affiliated with them. So they sent me one. So yeah,
I will rock this immediately.
That for you.
This is a good one.
And then also like this quality. Little device here that I have on the back of my phones right there. It's another EMF protection device. It's just a little sticker. You can place it anywhere.
I appreciate it.
And then I didn't ask you about this, but if you take any supplements or anything, this is magnesium.
Yep.
That's for reduction in stress, improving deep sleep, a bunch of other things.
Thank you.
And then
magnesium is very popular.
Use it. Yes, indeed.
I sleep like a baby. By the way, fun facts. I sleep like a baby. I love it. I sleep like a baby. Like a baby, and for like 7 or 8 hours a night. This is why now that I've learned, like in the last 7, 10, 15 years, I'm like, oh, the sleep thing, right? Like, right? Like people are getting more thoughtful. And I'm like, shit. Like, you know, you kind of have these moments with yourself of like when you're going through what I'm going through, where you're like, you know, like I'm like looking at myself, like I'm brushing my teeth, I'm looking at myself, I'm like, is my shit, like, am I full of shit? Like you're asking yourself, like, is my shit that real? Like, and the sleep thing actually profounded it for me, like affirmed it for me. I'm like, whoa, I really don't have a lot of anxiety. Like, you know, it's actually one of the reasons I don't talk about it is I think it's incredibly, it's almost like, look at my private plane. Like, it's not comfortable for me to, I'm trying to figure out the right way to be like, hey, I almost have none and I have a lot going on. So what the fuck is that? And like, how do I teach that? How do I, right? And I think it goes to gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, like it's crazy to me what my actual sleeping patterns are and actually how I, like the absorb the punch thing. I'm talking about like scary business shit, 3 hours. Like from like pure panic mode that could crush somebody for 5 months or like completely make them close their business. For me is usually a 3 hours. Gratitude, kindness, perspective, and then like boom, I'm back. That's fast, which is why I sleep every night because I almost don't even carry to the night.
This is what we're going to talk about in Podcast Panther number 2. I want to get all into your health
and I also know the other thing that when, not if, either one of my parents is terminally ill or suddenly passes, that I won't sleep because that will bother me.
I want to read this quote from you. When I tell you the only thing I care about is the health of my family, it is the only thing I care about. Everything I do in business is a game. I don't give a shit. Fuck money. Fuck all of it. Health.
Yep. Which is why I had to eat my own dog food at 38 when I like was like, wait a minute. I don't really eat healthy or work out and I don't have a muscle in my body. And then yesterday with Mike Vacanti, who's been with me, Mike, then Jordan, then Mike, I weigh in at 166 with Mike, which is a really nice solid weight for me, especially with how much muscle I've put on during COVID.
Yeah.
And I go, Mike, you got to text Jordan. Because I have a crazy ability to fast and I actually got a little loose during the holiday, you know, the whole holiday, everyone eating. Like I've always been like three, like, but I got a little loose and I was already I'm very strategic. Usually I'll go into Thanksgiving trying to do really well in October and early November. Cause I know Thanksgiving and Christmas I could, right?
Yeah.
This year I wasn't able to, cause I really, you know, again, you said like, I got into muscle gain for like truly muscle gain. Like don't value the scale more than like, actually trying to gain muscles, which was fun for me because I've really never had them, right? And my body's not predisposed. The amount of chest work I've done for the last fucking 8 years for it to be as small as it is pisses me off. But, you know, I'm not predisposed for it. Nonetheless, so, you know, I got to 180, which I haven't even touched in a long time on
bad
December.
Weight.
It's a weight that I don't want. It wasn't horrible weight, but it was just like I was loose. I was coming into holidays not great. I'm 180 on December 30th. I'm 166 on January 18th because my ability to fast is so absurd and I wanted just a hard jump start. Long story short, just talking yesterday, ironically you're bringing this up, just yesterday talking and like looking, you know, it's funny looking at myself and I'm like, you know, you lose that much, like all of a sudden all those muscles I was gaining, you start to shred. I mean, I don't have to tell you to. They're like, wait a minute, I look like, I was like, oh. And like, just like both of them who have been in it their whole life, like, they're like, they're like my brothers now. They're like, I wish you understood how good you look for 46. Like you're 46. Like, you know, and like, and I was just like, man, it is the single reason I do my content. The fact that I hate working out every day. I hate it more than every time I work out, I hate it. I do not want to eat healthy and clean. I don't want to, I don't. The fact that I've worked it to the fact that I do it and live it for the last 8 years, makes me believe that people that don't want to lean into accountability, don't want to lean into kindness, can if they work on themselves. My physical health, podcast 2 is the reason I believe that anybody who listened to podcast 1 with us can do it, even if it comes completely not natural, because I saw myself do it. And oh, by the way, I use my dad a lot. I watch my dad, my dad, who you see on Instagram now isn't even the same human being that he was when he was 45 and I entered his business. I completely, I'm comfortable saying this, transformed my dad's perspective. He's still him. He's got tons of things that are not me, but he's not even the same human. And so people can change, people can evolve, people can do shit, and that's what this is all about.
Boom.
Boom.